Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. And as has been mentioned, obviously there's many that are out due to different types of sicknesses and different things. So we'll just we're thankful that you're here and doing well, and pray that they'll be back with us as soon as possible. So we're doing a series entitled Do Something New, Do Something New. How many of you have done something new then this past week? I have never had a, you know, first full week of 2022, right? That was new. Maybe you've done things new, and what we're trying to do is just kind of encourage you to get out of your comfort zones, do something new. Most importantly, get out of those comfort zones and do something for Jesus. Do something for Jesus is what we're looking at. We've entitled this lesson, A New Inner Life. And for some reason, I didn't know what else to, new inner joy, new inner year, I don't know. But so I went with a new inner life, and all I could think about all week was an inner tube. But then I got thinking about that, as an illustration for this. You know, you have inner tubes in a lot of, tires and things. Some tires don't, but you got inner tubes, and you notice you put the air in it, and it should stay up, should stay full. But when something's wrong, it leaks air. Maybe you even got tires that don't have inner tubes that they'll leak air. And what it tells you is something's not right. Something's not right. I remember last time I was over at George's, I said, I got a tire, I'm putting air in it every couple of weeks. And so I had already brought my patch kit along, and sure enough, went through. And I, of course, you know, you live in Graybill. And so it's always going to be look like an Amish nail, you know, a horse's shoe nail. And so I pulled it out, but it was only in about that far, and it was in the thick of the rubber. And I was like, I bet you that's not it. And sure enough, so we kept going around, and I spun in, and then I looked and saw a staple. Well, I didn't know it was that long at the time. It was only that far sticking out in the, and then so I pulled the staple out, and it was about that long, and then so then I was like, okay, now we know where it's at. Now you can fix the problem. I'll just say this. I think you, and as we see as Christians, many of us, you're leaking air, right? And we need repatched. You need to make sure that we hold that in there. And if not, you're going to find yourself flat someday in a area where you don't want to be. And so, even though with the title Inner Life and then the inner tube, I was able to at least make those coincide somehow. But anyway, Isaiah 43 is our text that we're looking at. We looked at the whole text last week. We're just looking at the reminder portion of it for this week. Isaiah 43:19a says, "Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it?" In other words, something's going to happen. Something new's going to happen. One thing that we assume, and we're wrong in that assumption, is that if something new's going to happen, it's always something good. Sometimes new things happen that aren't so good. They aren't so good. And so, but also with this, I was reminded of one of our youth rallies we had a couple years ago when Terry Peer came to speak. I can't remember exactly what the title of it was. It was the one with the cartoon characters, you know, on the inside. Well, anyway, the whole song was, or the song that was used then for that was Jesus on the inside working on the outside. And isn't that the way it should be? We need to have Jesus on the inside. And so I think we live in a world, well, when I say I think, I should say I know. We live in a world where Christians have forgotten that they need to exude Christ in their life. But what I'm saying is there ought to be this permeating spirit that comes out of us of Jesus on the inside is going to affect the way we are on the outside. And so that's kind of what our thoughts are here this morning, what we want to look at. Got three things that we want to look at here this morning. However, I really struggled all week with what order to put them in. And I've come to the conclusion that it really doesn't matter what order they're in. You take what you need to do and apply them in that order. Because I've had them all different orders this week. And I was just like, okay, because I want them to try to usually build, or I want them to or hit the big one first and then give in tie-in points later. But each way I looked at it, I just think these are all things that are needed. You apply to your life which one in what order needs to happen first. Okay? The first one that I want to share with you is that we need this year to work on our relationship with God. Work on your relationship with God. Right? So many times, I've said it, you probably thought it, you'll talk to somebody and you'll say, oh man, they just seem to have it all worked out with God. They just seem to really have it going on. They just really seem to have it all together. But you know what? This is about working on your relationship, working on your relationship with God. Okay? And so as we see that, starting a relationship with God is a lot easier than people might think. How many times have you talked to someone trying to get them interested in Jesus Christ, in the Lord, in obedience to God, and they'll say, I'm just not worth it? Or why would he love me? Well, we need to work on that relationship with God, no doubt. God wants nothing more than he wants to have a relationship with you. And sometimes we tie this in and we'll say church or we'll say Christians, but he is talking to you this morning. Okay? He is talking to you this morning. He wants to help you with everything that you're going through, and he wants to help you grow. There's one thing that God does not want, and that is stagnant, stale Christians. And if you're in the same place you were last week, then ask for forgiveness and try to get better. But if you're in the same place you were a year ago, then you definitely ought to be ashamed. Because as we said, and as Derek's been teaching his class, that potential of moving forward, I think of that, you know, we think of potential energy in science class. That energy that's all bound up, ready to go. Well, let's put it into work. Let's not just let it sit there. Let's get it going. All that he asks is that you walk with him, that you seek his will, and that you let him in. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, in our relationship, working with our relationship with God. And I quote this quite often, but this is the text here for us to look at. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. This is important for us to remember as we begin our relationship with God. Are there certain people that we sit down and we talk with, right? If we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about mechanics on a vehicle, George is going to say things that I'm going to be like, uh-huh. So can you fix it? Yeah, no problem, okay? Right? Or maybe same thing with Mrs. Wellman. She'll say, you know, you got these notes here and this thing's here, and you got to be able to get out here, and you're saying, and you're like, So is the choir going to be able to do it? Yeah. Okay, good. That's all we care, right? And so we look at those things, and we think of those, or you may be talking mathematics with Miss Carter, right? And so you're like, okay, and she's explaining these things to, and then you're like, uh-huh. But will that get us the right answer? Yes. Okay, that's what we're looking for. I may not understand it all, right? We don't know. But that's where, and this is the same way with our relationship with God, and even on a grander scale and on all scale possible, is that he's letting us know that your thoughts, no matter how spiritual you think you are, you ain't even close. Now, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer there, but at the same time, what I'm saying is, in comparison to God, we're all struggling. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, you don't have to worry about being God. He's got it all under control. He's got it all figured out. We try to get into the mind of God when really all we have to do is get into his word, and that lets us know what his mind's all about. And we'll look at that in a little bit. Life is noisy. It never seems to slow down, right? Even when we do take time to read our Bible or listen to maybe the worship music or Christian music that helps to put us in a better mood, or maybe we take time to pray, we can still easily miss the quieter ways that God wants to speak to us. Taking time to intentionally slow down, to meditate, and to reflect is vitally important for growing our Christian relationship with God. To know God is to know that sin and God cannot coincide. And I think this is one of the grand schemes the devil has sold the church in the last half century, if not maybe forever. But at least where I've been able to see it, is that Satan has convinced the Christian they can continue in their sinful life, continue in their separation from God, and still walk with him. The Bible tells me otherwise. Sin places a barrier between man and God that no amount of meditation or reflection can tear down unless repentance is involved. Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord says, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. In other words, God is waiting for us to put our hand out saying we need help. God is waiting to listen, to hear us say, please help me, Lord. He is there. He is waiting for that to happen. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. So see, he's wanting for us, he's wanting to give us a helping hand. He's wanting to listen to our struggle and to our problems and to our trials. However, he says sin has separated us, and sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. If God does not hear you, it's not his fault. It's because we've put up a barrier. In church, we need to realize this. Because we cannot live our life in sin, in transgression, in separation from him, and then expect to call out and he be there. As I said, the only thing that'll bring that back together is repentance. It does no good to act as if we know God and we love God and then not obey him. To love the Lord is to do what he requires of us. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life. You can say all day long that I love Jesus. You can say all day long that Jesus is my Lord. You can say all day long that Jesus is my Savior. You can go down into the water 100 times, but until you obey him, you're lost. You're separate. You've separated yourself from him. And it says then, you will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Suggestion for the new year, work on your relationship with God. Number two this morning is work on your relationship with yourself. How many of you like yourself? I am the best me I know, right? And then I always say, we need to work on our relationship with ourselves, though. There are many people that have a hard time with themselves, living with themselves, getting along with themselves. The relationship you have with yourself sets the tone for every other relationship in your life. The best way to do that is to honestly evaluate where you are, starting with the thought of God's word that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We already looked at how sin separates, but sometimes our own ignorance or our own apathy plays a major role in that separation. That is why that when we judge ourselves by ourselves, we will always be led astray. Check ourselves against God for our best results. The weeping prophet Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations 3:40, let us test and examine our ways. And see, here's what I like about this, and the prophets let us know that when we test our ways and we examine our ways, we're the ones that need to change. It says, let us test and examine our ways, and then we return to the Lord. The Lord is not left. We have. We need to return to him. Work on ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. There are many Christians today that don't even know how to do that. I say, go home and test yourself today. What do you mean by that, preacher? Can you test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith? Examine yourselves? Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? How do you know whether or not when the test, if you are in the faith, is Jesus in you or not? Is he the one controlling your decisions? Is the Holy Spirit there to guide you? This may go along maybe more with our previous thought of work on your relationship with God, but work on your relationship with yourself. Is if you ever stop to consider, now we've got the Word of God, and as I said, we're going to look at that here in just a moment. But if right now, if at 1 o'clock this afternoon, you were able to be at home, maybe you're sitting at the table or you find a quiet space, and you were able to have a five-minute face-to-face conversation with Jesus, how would that go? 5 minutes, the clock starts. How would that go? Would you ask questions? Would you tell him what you're not happy about? How would that go? And you know, you'll find out that in that relationship that you have with him, you'll find out that there's a lot you need to work on. Did you ever decide to sit down and really have a heart-to-heart talk with somebody else? You realize that maybe I've got just as much to work on. And I guarantee if we sit down with our Savior, the creator of the universe, and we want to have that talk, we're going to find out that it's more our problem than his. That's why Proverbs 4:23 in the New International Version says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do, the decisions that you make, right? The things that you say, the ideas that you come up with, it all comes from your heart. And so many people say, well, I'm just going to let my heart guide me. Jeremiah says there is nothing more deceitful to the human being than the heart. Don't let your heart be your guide, right? Even as Jiminy Cricket says, don't let your conscience be your guide. People have their consciences seared all the time. Let God be your guide. Let Jesus Christ be your guide. It's like the old computer phraseology, garbage in, garbage out. And that fits for a lot of different things in life, but even our heart. Guard your heart, for it is the most deceptive. And you need to work, I need to work on my relationship with myself. And so do you. Thirdly, then, and as I said, I don't know that there's any important order on this other than just to do all three of them. But the last one is work on your relationship with the Word, with the Bible, with God's Word. So often people do not realize that if they have a problem with the Word, if they struggle with what the Bible says, you know what? Ultimately, they've got trouble with Jesus. Because John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 tells us that, and Jesus is that Word. It is impossible to have a relationship with Christ outside of His Word. For He is the Word. When we struggle with our relationship with God, it's usually due to the fact that we struggle with what the Bible says. Or maybe we don't even know what the Bible says. Maybe we haven't looked into God's Word for a reminder on that lately. And so we're going to struggle with ourselves. We're going to struggle with God when we struggle with the Word. The Bible is the manual for all things pertaining to life and godliness, Peter tells us. And when we don't like that, we turn to those that we do agree with. Right? If we don't like reading the Bible, then let's watch The View. They'll tell us how to see things, right? Or something else. I don't know. Maybe that's not even on anymore. I don't even know. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That'll be that they don't want to show up for Sunday school. They don't want to be here for Wednesday night Bible study. They don't want to have devotional time of their own. They don't want to hear the preacher get up and preach. They will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. We must not look to the latest storytelling, pop culture living, feel-good sharing messenger, bringer that will not get the job done. As Christians, we need to look to those that will deliver the Word. We need to look to those that will present Jesus. Why? As when Philip shared Jesus, he preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. What it meant was that he was opening up the Word of God and preaching the Bible to him. He was preaching Jesus. We must present Jesus. Hebrews 4:12 reminds us, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Why do we need to know God's will for us? Because that, my friends, is how the heart is motivated. Remember, from out of the heart, all the things of life flow. Out of God's Word is where we get the instruction from our Lord. If we want to work on ourselves and we want to be right with the Lord, then we have to get right with the Word. There is no way that we can say that we are a New Testament Christian and then disagree with the Word of God. There is no way that we can say that we have been born again and reject the principles found in Scripture. There is no way that we can say that we are living the life that we best can for Jesus and never break open the cover of His Word during the week. Church, the Lord wants for us to grow. The Lord wants for us to mature. The Lord wants for us to impact not only our own lives, but those lives of those around us. So I'm suggesting here this morning that we work on our relationship with God, that we work on our relationship with ourselves, and that we work on our relationship with the Word. Now, a fourth point I could have added was that we need to work on our relationship with others, but I guarantee you, if you work on those three relationships there of God, yourself, and in the Word, the relationship with others will take care of itself. Remember, as the church, we need Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that tells us that we need to believe who Jesus is. It says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That you need to repent. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. That you need to be immersed into Jesus Christ. Maybe you don't understand what that's all about. Talk to someone. Let us share with you. Be immersed. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. This is a separation factor between you and Jesus, and the Father right now is obedience to Jesus of you being immersed. Be faithful unto death then, and I will give you the crown of life. He wants to work on you one day at a time for as long as we have breath, that we can be more like Him each and every day. Work on a relationship with God. Work on a relationship with yourself. And work on a relationship in the Word. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart is where comes the activities of life. Be trained in God's Word so that the things that come out of it are the things that God has put into it. Will you stand?